It's time now for Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Karpel, and your golden years.
Good evening and welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years with yours truly this evening and every Sunday evening, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Time. That's 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com and directly on my website at drmarakarpel.com. And you can hear this show again by going to my website, drmarakarpel.com. That's D-R-M-A-R-A-K-A-R-P, like Peter, E-L, .com. drmarakarpel.com, and the link to the podcast will be posted after the show. And for information from this show and updates about upcoming shows, go to my website, drmarakarpel.com, and follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. Want to advertise your business? Send me an email to drmara@drmarakarpel.com or go through my website, or give me a call at 512-626-6973. This show is produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by the bra lady, Sonia Das, helping every woman have a perky day. In Austin, call Sonia at 512-898-9058 or go to haveaperkyday.com. Tonight's show is also sponsored by StoryHouse. Our friends over at Live Oak Legacies have enlivened their services to encourage story sharing from every generation and have changed their name to StoryHouse. StoryHouse gathers your stories and turns them into multimedia collections that can be shared now and for generations to come. Have StoryHouse over to conduct a private interview in your home or invite them to your next big event or family reunion. StoryHouse, where your memories live. Find out more at yourstoryhouse.com or call 512-296-8752. And today is Sunday, July the 26th, and we are back broadcasting live in beautiful Austin, Texas. And it's another warm day here in Austin, but we are cooling off here. Once again, broadcasting from the office of Accomplice Entertainment in the Intelligent Office Suite on the 15th floor of the Forest Bank Building in Austin, Texas. And Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, producer of this show, is here doing the production engineering for the show and will be answering your calls if you call later with questions. So give a call and say hi to Art. And if this is the first time that you're tuning in, I'm a licensed psychologist from New York City practicing both here in Austin, Texas, and in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. And I work with adults of all ages and have a specialty of working with seniors and caregivers. And for the past few years, have also been evaluating veterans for PTSD. You can listen to the podcast of my shows from my local Austin radio show and from here on Blog Talk Radio by going to my website. Again, that's drmarakarpel.com. And for this evening's show, we have another great lineup of guests and topics. And in the first hour, Larry Rice, Director of Business Development of Reliant Austin, who is right here live in this virtual studio, will be talking about Reliant Austin, their brand new physical rehabilitation facility here in Austin, Texas, and the benefits of their inpatient program in lieu of going to a nursing home for rehabilitation. And with him is Vidette Forbes, CEO of Reliant, and she might say a few words. Then stay tuned for the second hour when singer-songwriter Curly Karen Schleifer, who has performed on Broadway and who has been on my show when I was on local Austin radio, will be back from speaking to us from Brooklyn, New York, to tell us about some exciting music news in her world. And also in the second hour, Laura Gelazunas will be back to report in from the retirement paradise south of the border, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And before we get to our guests, Since Monday was National Get Out of the Doghouse Day, I will be talking about forgiveness and how it can set you free. And throughout the show, I will have time to take your questions. So if you have any questions or comments for me or my guests, please feel free to give a call. The toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or you can email or tweet your questions to me, and I will read them on the air to my guests. The email address is drmara, D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, D-R-M-A-R-A-K-A-R-P-E-L.com. And my Twitter address is M-A-R-A-E-K, and I have them both on my computers right now. They're both up and active, so you can send your questions and your comments to me anytime during the show. And so as I mentioned, Monday was Get Out of the Doghouse Day. So I'm going to talk a bit about forgiveness. But before I get to that, I also want to mention that I frequently talk on this show about meditation and one type of meditation called mindfulness meditation. And there was a recent study that came out that was published in Psychiatry Research Neuroimaging. And it was about mindfulness. And what they found, the results of this study found that participating in a mindfulness meditation practice regularly found to be associated with changes in gray matter in the brain regions involved in learning and memory processes, emotional regulation, self referential processing, and perspective taking. So I guess the main point that I want to make with that is that there is scientific research that shows that mindfulness meditation really has a positive effect on the brain and our ability to think clearly and to deal with our emotions much more effectively. So just wanted to make that point since that just came out in the news. So it was really interesting because I had decided to talk about forgiveness, and this week after I read that it was Get Out of the Doghouse Day on Monday, and I had written a couple of columns when I had a column in the Valley Morning Star in Harlingen newspaper about forgiving other people and forgiving yourself and how powerful that was in helping yourself. It's not so much for the other person, but it really is powerful in getting on with your life and emotional well-being. And a few days after I had started putting this together, I was on Facebook, and I connect on Facebook with Dr. Wayne Dyer, who's a very well-known psychologist who talks a lot about forgiveness and also about mindfulness meditation. And he happened to post, and maybe he also knew it was Get Out of the Doghouse Day, and he didn't mention that, but maybe that's why he posted it. But he posted an excerpt of Louise Hay's book, Experience Your Good Now is the name of her book, and it's all about forgiveness. So this excerpt is all about forgiveness. So before I get to what I have to say about it, I'm going to read that little excerpt. Forgiveness is a difficult area for so many people. We all need to do forgiveness work. Anyone who has a problem with loving themselves is stuck in this area. Forgiveness opens our hearts to self-love. Many of us carry grudges for years and years. We feel self-righteous because of what they did to us. I call this being stuck in the prison of self-righteous resentment. We get to be right. We never get to be happy. I can almost hear you say, but you don't know what they did to me. It's unforgivable. Being unwilling to forgive is a terrible thing to do to yourself. Bitterness is like swallowing a teaspoon of poison every day. It accumulates and harms you. It is impossible to be healthy and free when you keep yourself bound to the past. The incident is long over. Yes, it's true that they didn't behave yet well. However, it's over. You might feel that if you forgive them, then you're saying that what they did was okay. One of our biggest spiritual lessons is to understand that everyone is doing the best they can at any given moment. People can only do so much with the understanding, awareness, and knowledge that they have. Invariably, anyone who mistreats someone was mistreated themselves. The greater their violence, the greater their own inner pain, and the more they lash out. This is not to say that their behavior is acceptable or excusable. However, for your own spiritual growth, we must be aware of their pain. The incident is over, perhaps long over. Let it go. Allow yourself to be free. Come out of prison and step into the sunshine. If the incident is still going on, then ask yourself why you think so little of yourself that you still put up with it. Why do you stay in such a situation? Don't waste time trying to get even. It doesn't work. What you give out always comes back to you. So drop the past and work on loving yourself in the now. Then you'll have a wonderful future. That person who is the hardest to forgive is the one who can teach you the greatest lessons. When you love yourself enough to rise above the situation, then understanding and forgiveness will be easy and you'll be free. So that was from Louise Hay's book, Experience Your Good Now. So I agree with that. And what I had written in my columns was about how forgiveness is a really important element in being able to find joy in your life and in your relationships, because holding on to any anger and resentment uses up your own energy and it weighs you down and it punishes you. You're the person that's being punished when you hold on to your anger and when you hold on to your grudge. And as soon as you forgive, it's like a weight being lifted off your shoulders, and it sets you free, as Louise Hay stated, to move forward in your own life. Just knowing this and being willing to forgive, or be willing to try to forgive, brings you closer to the goal of being able to allow yourself to enjoy your life. So what does it really mean to forgive, and what are the actual steps to achieve forgiveness? Do you think that if you were to let go of resentment and actually forgive someone for something that they might have done to you, that you would be condoning their behavior and making it okay for someone else to hurt you? I think that that's one of the reasons why people refuse to forgive, because they feel that forgiveness means that they're saying that it's okay. And there's a big difference between forgiveness and approving of poor treatment. So here are some concrete steps towards forgiveness. Some of them I borrowed from Fran and Les Hewitt's book, The Power of Focus for Women, or The Power of Forgiveness, sorry, for Women. First, make the decision to forgive. That step alone is very powerful in moving forward and releasing pain and enjoying your life, just making that decision. And second, take responsibility for your own healing. No one else can do this for you, and you've seen some of the negative results of not doing this, such as emotional pain, and sometimes this can even lead to physical illness. Next, it's important to confront your pain. This means that you become fully aware of the pain that you're experiencing from your resentment and find someone you trust to talk about it, such as a friend or maybe a mental health practitioner. And then be willing to take a new perspective about the person who you have been holding a grievance against. That is, try to see where they're coming from in their life. As Louise Hay says, people do the best they can do with what they have. And I remember Oprah's saying is, when you know better, you do better. So a lot of times when people do wrong, it's because they didn't know better. This isn't making excuses for them or approving of their hurtful behaviors, but it's realizing that people hurt other people when they've been hurt themselves or when they're hurting themselves. And it's easier to forgive when you can see that. Acknowledge your part in the hurt and forgive yourself for that part. So a lot of times people get angry at themselves for allowing themselves to be hurt. And so you need to be able to forgive yourself in order to forgive the other person as well. Learning from your pain is an important part of forgiveness. Did you learn something important about yourself and about your relationships? Did you learn that you could survive pain? Some people find it helpful to then have a ceremony for releasing and letting go of the resentment. You might try writing a letter to the person who hurt you that you will not send. I don't advise, seriously, don't send it. This is for you to release your feelings. Sending it will only keep the resentment going. And then bury or burn the letter as a symbol of letting it go. Remember that forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean that you reconcile with the person that you forgive. You don't ever have to see that person just because you've decided to forgive them. Another point about forgiveness that I came across just recently while reading the book The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. And he talks about how we tend to blame other people or criticize other people not because of anything that they have done. It's really not the thing, it's not what we're criticizing them about or blaming them for that we get upset with them about. It's really at times, now I'm not saying that there aren't times where people do things to other people that hurt them, but there are times that we blame other people and we criticize other people because of our unconscious desire to slow down our own flow of positive energy. And as he puts it, we've hit our upper limit and we sabotage ourselves. So if things are going well in a relationship, very often people have a feeling like things are going too well and I need to do something to kind of mess it up a little bit. And they find things in the other person that they can criticize and blame. So having awareness of this by itself, just knowing that sometimes that happens, can help us to be more mindful and aware of when that is happening, and it can lead to much quicker forgiveness because maybe there really isn't anything to forgive. So what about forgiving yourself? You know, as I mentioned, a lot of times the problem is that we get angry with ourselves for having let ourselves get hurt, or we feel guilty for having hurt another person. So how can we forgive ourselves? First of all, it's important to realize that we're all human and humans make mistakes. And again, that same thing goes, when we know better, we do better. And maybe at that time we really didn't know better. Or at that moment, we had a slip in our knowledge of better. And when you forgive yourself, you're choosing love over judgment. So Hewitt, the authors of that book, The Power of Forgiveness for Women, point out that when you forgive yourself, you're sending a notice that moving on with your life is more important than remaining in the emotional prison of self-condemnation. Then you need to accept what you did. Take full responsibility. Confront the situations. No excuses, no denial. And you might find it helpful, again, to write down your thoughts. Be sure to let yourself be emotional. That's okay to fully feel what you feel. And after you completely admit to yourself whatever it is that you feel that you are condemning yourself about, tell somebody about it. Admit it to somebody else. Find somebody who you trust not to judge you, but who will listen to you. And then you really need to stop punishing yourself and putting yourself down. There's no benefit to this. If you put yourself in the victim role, it will only affect your relationships with others and yourself in a negative way. There is no benefit. The next step would be to make amends if that's appropriate. If the situation is one in which you feel that you did something to someone else, give a sincere apology or return something that you might have taken from them, whether it's money or something else. And be aware that you must have the right intentions when you do this and don't have any expectations about the outcome. Sometimes the way that you make amends can cause more damage, so be very cautious there and know that you're doing this in order to forgive yourself, but the other person may not necessarily forgive you. So you have to be aware of that. And finally, and most importantly, ask yourself what you learned from the situation. If you can learn from it, then it would not have been in vain. And maybe what you learned from it is that this is something that you'll never do again. And that's a good lesson. So I hope that this has been helpful to people out there who might feel like they're holding a grudge and they are feeling depressed because of feeling that somebody else hurt them or feeling guilty about something that they did. And remember, get out of the doghouse. So we're going to take a little break. And after the break, Larry Rice of Reliant Austin, who's sitting right here, will be talking about Reliant Austin, their brand new physical rehab facility in Austin, Texas, and the benefits of inpatient rehabilitation and their inpatient rehabilitation program that is in lieu of going to a nursing home for rehab. And we'll be taking your calls, your tweets, your emails with your questions. Give a call toll-free at 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or send me a tweet to M-A-R-A-E-K or an email to Dr. Mara at drmaracarpell.com, and I will read your questions over the air. So we'll be right back.
Super Psychologist Dr. Mara Carpell will be back after words from our sponsors.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient. And with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the bra lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about essential bodywear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com and have a perky day. Gravity.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240. Any guidance offered by Dr. Carpell is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Carpell, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show. Please visit us on the web at www.drmaracarpell.com.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpell and your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmaracarpell.com. And now sitting right next to me here in the studio is Larry Rice, the Director of Business Development of Reliant Austin. Sitting next to him is the CEO of Reliant Austin, looking over his shoulders, Vidette Forbes. And Larry is going to talk to us about their brand new physical rehab facility here in Austin and the benefits of this facility versus going to a nursing home for rehab. And we're taking your call, so please feel free to give a call with your questions and your comments. The toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. And my Twitter address, if you don't want to call but you have a question, you can email it or tweet it. So my Twitter address is M-A-R-A-E-K, and my email is drmara@drmaracarpell.com. So welcome, Larry. Welcome, Vidette. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you so much for know, rehabilitation is not only for seniors. We see younger people coming through our hospital on frequent occasions. I was thinking about how to maybe segue from forgiveness into talking about a rehabilitation hospital. And the word that came to mind was care.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, to forgive yourself is caring for yourself. To forgive others is to care for others. And when we started this company, and I say we, I actually got in on the company at the ground stage. And what happened, we had some people that were very experienced in rehabilitation, and they got together and decided to form a company and came up with a management company called Reliant HCP.
Mm-hmm.
And Reliant HCP stands for Reliant Healthcare Partners. So
okay.
This is a caring business.
Mm-hmm.
And we really give our best efforts and are very sincere about trying to help people, and not only help people that come through our community, through our hospital, but also in our community. So the company started with a hospital, a 50-bed hospital up in North Texas at Richardson, Texas, and they expanded from there. We now have 14 hospitals in the system.
Mm-hmm.
And Vedette and I work for Reliant Austin Medical Rehabilitation, and that is on Ben White. It's 330 Boulevard here in Austin, Texas, right off of 290.
And where are the other hospitals?
Yeah, there's actually one located in Round Rock, which
mm-hmm.
is north of here. There are three hospitals in the Dallas metro area. There's one in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
There's one in HEB area, Hearst, Euless, Bedford. There's the flagship, which is North Texas Hospital, which is in Richardson, Texas. There's one in Abilene. There's two in Houston. There's one in Dayton.
Hmm.
And we just had a recent purchase of Braintree Rehabilitation, which is a primary hospital with several ancillary hospitals or smaller hospitals connected to it, and which gives us a total of 14 now.
So they're all over Texas then?
All over Texas and then expanding into other parts of the nation.
Okay. All right. So what do you do? What is Reliant Austin? Yep.
Well, we're kind of like two things in one. We're actually a medical hospital. So we're actually licensed as an acute care facility. But what we specialize in is rehabilitation. So patients that need rehabilitation and also need medical care can come to Reliant Austin, and we will provide both those avenues of care for them. So we're going to provide medical care, pharmaceutical services. We're going to make sure that they get their medications timely. We're going to make sure they get nursing care. But we're also going to provide physical therapy, occupational therapy, and if needed, we're also going to provide speech therapy. Occasionally, orthotics, prosthetics would fit into that picture, but that is probably a minor need there at our hospital.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what are the type of patients that you would see there? What would cause somebody to be a patient at Reliant? Yes.
Right. Well, most of our patients come from local hospitals, and those are the local short-term acute care hospitals here in downtown Austin and other parts of the area. So a lot of times patients will have perhaps pneumonia, or they will have a stroke, or they will have an exacerbation of multiple sclerosis or Parkinson's,
mm-hmm.
or they'll fall and they'll fracture a hip, or they'll need a joint replacement. And so they go into the short-term acute care hospitals,
mm-hmm.
and once they are stabilized, and then it is determined that they need rehabilitation, then we get a call from that local hospital, and we send in a representative to do an assessment on that patient, see if they meet criteria to come into the hospital there at Reliant Austin. And if they meet criteria, then we bring those patients in, and then we start the program.
So, what are some of those criteria?
Yeah, some Well, for one thing, you must need medical care. And by needing medical care at an acute rehabilitation, that means that you should have to see a primary doctor, your attending physician, at least three times during that week. And then the other thing is you must have two functional needs to come into the hospital. You need to have physical and occupational therapy. You might need physical therapy with speech or occupational therapy with speech. So once that criteria is, once we do that assessment, and then we visit with our medical director and she looks over all the clinical information and makes a decision, then we're ready to transfer that patient from the short-term acute care facility over to the medical rehabilitation hospital.
Okay. All right. So what are the common diagnoses that you see in Reliant?
A lot of the more common things that we see would be a stroke, and there are different types of strokes, obviously. There's a clotting stroke. There's a bleeding stroke. And once those stroke patients are stabilized and they come over for rehab, we see a lot of patients that have difficulty with their multiple sclerosis or their Parkinson's. And they need to be in the hospital for a short period of time, perhaps to get their medications, maybe new medications started, maybe additional medications added. And then once those medications are started, then they can come to rehabilitation. We can continue to monitor those medications and also give them the therapy they need. Other diagnoses would be like pneumonia. You could have chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. You could have had bypass surgery for your heart, and you may have had a lung problem. Whatever the disease is, a lot of times after these diseases, these processes, you get very deconditioned. It takes very little time lying in a hospital bed before your muscle tone, you start losing muscle tone, and you get weak and you get deconditioned. So that's a big part of rehab, is to get therapy to work with you and recondition you and get you back up on your feet again where you can go home.
Right, right. And that makes sense. You know, people don't think of somebody with a medical condition that caused them to be hospitalized to then need rehab. But, for example, last year my dad ended up in the hospital with a urinary tract infection that became systemic. So he was very weak. And when they got that all stabilized, he was over the infection, he needed rehab for 2 or 3 weeks because, as you said, he was lying in a hospital bed and he couldn't walk again after that. He got so deconditioned, so he needed rehab to get him back on his feet.
Right. A lot of our listeners probably don't know at this point in time. I'm sure some do, but many don't, is that there are a lot of different levels of care in the community. And acute rehabilitation being one of those, long-term acute care being another, skilled nursing facilities being another. And so what happens is you have a loved one that falls and perhaps fractures a hip, and they go into the hospital. Well, they understand that part. They know they're going to the hospital. They know that they're going to have that surgically repaired. But they don't really think that far ahead about, okay, after that surgery, how long is that short-term acute care hospital going to let my mother or dad stay?
Right.
And what they discover is, under current health care, is that according to their diagnosis, they have a limited time that they can spend in a short-term acute care hospital. What happens is the discharge planner walks in your room and says, "Hi, Mrs. Doe. We've got John's hip repaired, and he can only stay with us a couple more days, and we're going to have to discharge him." And that can be quite a shock to somebody's system because they weren't really planning on that. They were planning on taking Mr. Doe home after his surgery, but they discovered that he's 85 years old. He's very weak and deconditioned, and he's in a lot of pain. So then they will come to you, and they will offer you choices. Where do you want to send your dad or your loved one or your friend? Which hospital do you want to send them to? and they don't have a clue.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not their expertise. And while they may drive by, we have people drive by our hospital every day, and they tell us all the time, we didn't know what you guys were.
Right.
And so it takes, they have to have a real quick education on what level of care they can go to. And what's nice about this show is that your listeners can get educated and find out that there are different levels of care and that there are different choices. And Reliant Austin is a great choice for those people that want to regain their life, to regain their initial, their original function, their independent function, and get home quickly and get home safely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And maybe there are people listening who don't think that they need this information, but then when they do need it, it'll be there, right?
Trust me, it happens really in pretty much a blink of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with fractures, especially with motor vehicular accidents,
mm-hmm.
We hear stories every day about how things were going and then how lives were changed in the blink of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you don't need any of these services, but the next few minutes, the life changes,
and now you do.
Really on the hunt to find what services are available.
Right, right. I did get a question online. I was asked if you're, and I think you might have answered this, but are you only in Texas?
No, we're not. We're also in Dayton, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
We're also in Boston, Massachusetts.
Okay, okay. So you're spreading our different parts, the different ends of the country. So, Vidette, were you going to say something?
Just wanted to say that we are growing as a company, and as Larry mentioned, it is important to make informed decisions. So before something happens, just pray for the community to know that there are options out there and that we are here to serve and help you get back home. That's our ultimate goal, is for all our patients charged back into the community and resume the quality of life.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Thank you. All right. So tell me about the rehab team. You have a multidisciplinary team.
Yeah, what's really nice about Reliant is when Reliant started up several years ago, our CEO is actually a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Our COO is a nurse. So we have some people that came in that actually started this company that have a lot of experience. And so what happened when this company started, because they had experience, they knew a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they did, they assembled what they call their dream team. They brought into corporate management and the management into the hospitals people that they already knew. A lot of these people they had already worked together with, such as myself. I had worked with the current CEO in a local hospital up in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a team put together. It wasn't just put together to build a hospital to make money. It was
right.
A team put together to actually service the community and actually do an expert job when people came into our hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So this team that we have in Reliant Austin is a very experienced team, and it's made up of course, the administrative team. We have a clinical director that is oversees our therapy. Her name is Allison Sinsky.
Mm-hmm.
And Allison has a great deal of experience, as does our therapy team, both physical, occupational, and therapy team. Then we have a great nursing, and that's led by, I hope I say Lupe's last name, Santander. I don't know if I said that just wrong.
Santander,
okay, sorry. And she does a great job with our nursing. Vidette is, being the CEO, one thing I've learned about Vidette is that we do surveys before people ever get out of the hospital. You know, a lot of hospitals will hand out a survey and they get those answers later.
Right.
We do surveys before a patient leaves because we want to know if there are any problem areas. And
mm-hmm.
one thing Vidette does is if we have a problem somewhere, she's very quick to get on that problem and get that problem solved. And what's happened as a result of that, our customer satisfaction scores have been in the 90th percentile.
Wow.
Yeah, to recommend to approve.
Mm-hmm.
To recommend this hospital, the Line Austin, to one of their friends.
Mm-hmm.
And family.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're seeing is that we're seeing friends tell other friends, I had a great experience at the Line Austin, and if you need some rehabilitation, that's a great place to go. So we're seeing that happen. We're seeing other patients that have been with us before who have new illnesses or they have an accident of some sort, and they want to come back to Reliant Austin. So those are the things that our team that we're putting together. We also have a case management there, and the case manager actually, once the patient comes into the hospital, that case manager is sort of the go-to person for that patient. She's going to help that patient from the time the patient arrives till that patient is discharged. What she is going to look at is she is going to look at what are the needs this patient when they go home. Not only while they're here, but what happens when this patient goes home? Will they need a wheelchair? Will they need a rolling walker? Will they need some other kind of durable medical equipment that will help them to keep themselves as independent as they can possibly be? And so she helps with that. We also have a physical medicine and rehabilitation doctor. And our medical director is Dr. Laura Gray.
Mm-hmm.
So Dr. Gray is the admission doctor for all of our patients. And so she attends on those patients, and much like in a short-term acute, if she wants some assistance from an internal med physician or if she needs a clinical psychologist or whoever to come in to assist with the care of that patient, she will write for a consult, and we'll bring those people into the hospital. They have to be credentialed. And we have a credentialing process that we bring in the internal to help with the care of that patient.
Right.
So you've got your physical medicine doctor, your case management, your nursing team, your therapy team, your administrative team. And then what they're doing is they're keeping an eye on, is this patient reaching their goals? So we establish the goals very early in their stay. We have a therapy team comes in, the nursing team comes in, they do an evaluation, and then they determine with that patient and the family, what are your goals? Well, goals are different, right? If you're totally independent and you're driving and you're still playing golf, that's usually what the patient will say. I want to go back to my golf game.
Right.
I want to go back to seeing my friends and go to the bridge club. Those are things that we want to do. So that's what we're going to do. Their goals become our goals. And we're going to try to work with them to strengthen them, and not just body, but mind as well. And attitude is very important. Motivation is very important in rehabilitation. So we're going to work on both of those things with the family, with the patient, to get that patient home, get them independent, reach their goals.
And get them back to where, as close as possible to where they were before.
As close as possible. Sometimes we will even exceed where they were before because maybe they had a surgery that repaired. Perhaps they had back problems. And now they've had maybe lumbar stenosis. They've had a narrowing of their canal. And now they've done surgery to repair that. Their life is going to be better than what it was before
because they didn't get the right
because they
rehab.
Were in pain all the time. Now they've had surgery to correct that.
Okay. So how do you track how a patient is doing? How do you know if they're meeting their goals?
You're from New York, right?
Yes.
Okay. You're familiar with the New York Yankees. I always say we're just like the New York Yankees. We keep statistics on everything.
Okay.
and we really do. And part of that is Medicare requirements. They obviously expect us to keep a lot of data on patients, and they do this because they're very want the outcomes. They want the outcomes to be good just like we do. And so they have a report. We happen to use a company called eRehab Data, and we send a lot of information. And obviously, we can talk about HIPAA. It's all secure. But we share outcome information with eRehab data. And what we do with that information, we know just about everything functionally about that patient before they ever get into our hospital bed.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we want to know while they're in the hospital, while they are ill, how do they do at upper extremity dressing? How do they do at lower extremity dressing?
Mm-hmm.
How do they do with toileting? How do they do with bathing? How do they do with transferring? How do they do from a lying position to a sitting position? We want to know how far they can walk, how much assistance they need to walk. And that's very important for us. We want a baseline, not only while they're sick, we get information about how well they did before they ever came to the hospital. So we have a goal to shoot for.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we get them into the hospital and we do our complete evaluation, then we have a scoring system. It's actually called FIMS. It's Functional Independence Measurements. And most acute rehabilitation, most all rehabilitation hospitals are using that system.
Uh-huh.
It's mandated.
Okay.
And so you get a total. So when that patient leaves, we redo that FIMS scoring. We reevaluate, and we get a total score. And then we could subtract the beginning from the ending, and that gives us a measurement performance of how well they did while they were in the hospital. And we consistently, and what's nice about e-rehab is there are a lot of companies that use e-rehab nationally and regionally. So we can actually, and this is instantaneous, this isn't two-year-old data. We can go on to e-rehab, we can compare ourselves against the national average and the regional average for our area. So it's very meaningful data. It's not just something that, yeah, we've got some data and we can run some graphs.
Right.
It's actually very meaningful data. Now, what's happening, the short-term acute care hospitals are really being held under the gun by Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they haven't always, but it's getting more and more so where they want to make sure that they have good outcome data from those short-term acute care hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, the short-term acute, sending us patients, they want to know how well we do with their patients.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because they had the patient initially.
Right.
And they have trusted us to take care of their patient and prevent them from coming right back
right.
into the hospital.
They made the referral. They want to know that you're a good place to refer to.
That's very correct.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we really watch our to make sure that we're scoring not even with national or even with regional, but that we're actually exceeding those numbers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I was very glad that you guys invited me over to see Reliant. I had the chance to tour with you, as you know, and it was beautiful. And I want to tell listeners, I have worked in nursing homes that have acute care and have rehab units. And this looks completely different.
Dr. Parfell, we're actually a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to a skilled nursing facility,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of freestanding skilled nursing facilities now where they used to always be attached to a nursing home.
Right.
So that's changed a little bit. A skilled nursing facility, while there is obviously a need for skilled nursing facilities, and many patients will meet criteria to go there.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a subacute facility. It's not actually an acute care. It's not licensed acute.
Mm-hmm.
And the payment comes out of a different basket than what you would pay. Then the payment would come out if you went to an acute rehabilitation hospital.
Okay.
Some of the differences are really pretty simple to explain.
Mm-hmm.
One would be the amount of therapy you get. You're going to get more therapy in an acute setting, in an acute rehab, than you will get in a post-acute skilled nursing facility.
Mm-hmm.
You also will get the doctor care. We have a requirement that our doctor must see that patient at least 3 times a week face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such requirement in a skilled nursing facility.
Right.
And there again, I'm not talking down on the skilled because there are many patients that need skilled nursing facilities. But for a patient that has an independent lifestyle prior to going into the hospital and doesn't want to stay for an extended period of time, our average length of stay is running from 10 to 12 days in an acute rehabilitation hospital.
Okay.
And I dare say a skilled, I don't see their numbers, but I've done a lot of research, and you're talking usually a minimum of 20 to 30 days
right.
as an average. And sometimes you'll see patients in a skilled unit for 80 to 100 days.
And those are the same types of patients that you might get in your facility.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're trying to do is really get the word out. There's rehabilitation, and then there's rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't really go wrong by going to an acute rehabilitation. Matter of fact, I would say err on the safe side and go to the higher level of care first and see if your loved one can tolerate. They're going to get home a lot faster. They're going to be independent a lot quicker.
And the surroundings are a lot nicer.
The surroundings are very nice. Our hospital is just a little over 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 60 private rooms, all private baths, really wide hallways. We have two inpatient gyms, one outpatient gym. We have a saltwater pool. This building was built, you know, to take care of people and get them back functional. So
yeah, it looks like a hotel.
It does.
It's hotel-esque. And the wide hallways, you mentioned that. I know I talked about that when I was there, because when you took me on to the floor, I was just amazed at how wide. I mean, they're not hallways. They're
actually sort of socialization.
Yes.
I guess it's a good word for it.
Mm-hmm.
And we started out at North Texas, and I was privileged to be a part of that when the North Texas facility was going up in Richardson. And I saw the blueprints for the building, and they were telling me about wide hallways. And I was like, well, big deal, we got wide hallways. But when I actually saw what the need was, what thinking was, is when you go to a person's home,
mm-hmm.
you go to visit them. You don't go to their bedroom to visit them.
Right.
You go to the den. You go to the living room.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go to someone's bedroom
mm-hmm.
to visit. And so the idea was is to build wide areas outside of the patient's room and put furniture and encourage the patients at the end of the day when their family comes to visit them or during the day for lunch, you know, for breakfast if they like, to get out into those areas.
Mm-hmm.
And actually socialize outside of their room.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it was all about. The second good thing that we get out of that also is there's lots of room to work out outside of the gym. So if you
right.
need to work, walk someone down the hallway or around and around, it works really well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So people aren't smashing into each other.
No wheelchair collision.
Okay. A couple of other questions that I received before we go to a break. Are you strictly inpatient?
We at this time are strictly inpatient.
Mm-hmm.
We have an outpatient area, but at this time it's not open.
Okay, but that's the plan to open that eventually?
We'll see. It
okay.
could be at one point. There's no decision made.
Okay.
So for right now, we're getting to utilize that space.
Mm-hmm. The other question is, do you have one in Sugar Land, Texas?
We actually have one that's in the Woodlands,
mm-hmm.
North of Houston, and then we have another one out northwest, not too far from Katy.
Uh-huh.
I don't have the exact location, but northwest Houston, and it's doing quite well.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, okay? So if listeners have any more questions, feel free to get to your phone, then you can call and ask your question right on the phone. The phone number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or send an email to Dr. Mara at drmarakarpel.com or a tweet to MARAEK. And we'll be right back.
Oh, yeah.
super psychologist Dr. Mara Karpel. We'll be back after words from our sponsors.
I almost spoke all the words that I wanted to say. I almost saw what you look like, bless your wall. But almost doesn't count anymore. And a sure thing never will. You almost felt all the things that I dream about, and you almost heard all the songs that I sing out loud. But almost doesn't count anymore. And a sure thing never will. So many things.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient. And with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the bra lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about essential bodywear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com. And have a perky day. Gravity.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmarakarpel.com.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And I'm speaking with Larry Rice of Reliant Austin Rehabilitation Hospital. And again, we're taking your questions and your comments. If you have a question, you can give a call at 855-345-4720 or send me a tweet to M-A-R-A-E-K or an email to Dr. Mara at drmarakarpel.com, and I will read your questions over the air. So, Larry, you mentioned the length of stay. Can you talk about that again? What's your average length of stay for patients at Reliant?
So what happens is when we receive the patient into the hospital and we do our evaluation, we also know what the diagnosis is for that patient. And so we have people in the hospital, we have coders, and we actually take that diagnosis and through Medicare guidelines, we determine not a set in stone length of stay,
mm-hmm.
but we have an estimated length of stay for that type
based on the diagnosis.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
So once we establish the length of stay, we're going to work towards helping that patient get get home within that length of stay and be independent as possible at the end of their length of stay with us. Now, what are we looking at as far as getting the patient home? I guess that's really important for the audience to know.
Mm-hmm.
What we're looking at, we have to be realistic, obviously. And it depends on how severe the disease process is, or perhaps the accident was, as to the recovery of this patient.
Right.
And a lot of times we know, looking at a patient, the doctor knows, we can pretty well estimate how a patient is going to do. And if you've done this over the years, I've done this about 15 years, and when I did an assessment on a patient, I think I pretty well know how that patient is going to do once they get in the hospital, because I've looked at so many patients, or I've talked to so many patients as well. A lot of times it depends. I can tell if they're motivated to come into the hospital and to really get with the program and try to get home. But on other occasions, you'll see patients that have been hospitalized for a very long period of time, and their hope is at the lower end of the scale, and they're
mm-hmm.
tired, and they've been in a lot of pain.
Right.
And so that's where it's really important that when we get a patient like that into the hospital, is that we help motivate that patient. So part of our job is to talk to that patient and help that patient get motivated to look not just at today, but look down the road. Perhaps they have grandchildren. Perhaps they've got a spouse at the home. They've got other friends and family that are really pulling from them. But, you know, you look at them, and in their eyes, you don't see that twinkle. You don't see that motivation. So it's important for us to work with that patient really hard, try to get the patient motivated,
mm-hmm.
to get up out of the bed and go through the boot camp, go through the regimen.
Right.
And some of our patients, they'll just kind of get irritated at our therapist, because we're going to push them just a little bit. And we find we have to push the patient sometimes to get the result that we're after and that they're after. But once you get that patient motivated,
mm-hmm.
and once they start seeing the improvement, then that's when you really start seeing things happen and you start seeing the really good gain that you're looking for. So the length of stay, while it's not set in stone, it gives us a really good guideline. So if that length of stay for that diagnosis is 12 days, that doesn't mean that patient will stay there 12 days. They might go home in 10 days. They get with the program, they do well,
mm-hmm.
they think they're safe to go home. We can discharge that patient in 10 days. But if we think another day or two or three will help that patient to get where they need to be, then that's what we're going to do as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So length of stay just gives us, again, the statistics. It
right.
helps us to know if we're on track with our program,
mm-hmm.
because it's based against thousands and thousands of other cases.
Right. So it's an estimate when they first come
it
in.
It's definitely an
mm-hmm.
estimate.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an educated estimate that we can use.
Mm-hmm. So how do people pay for all of this?
Well, that's a great question. And our facility, about 80 to 85% of our patient population at any given time is usually a Medicare patient.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Medicare pays for this.
Medicare pays for this, and we have a lot of Medicare patients who are Medicare certified facility or hospital. We also work with other commercial payers. Blue Cross of Texas is one that I could put a real plug in. Probably shouldn't be doing an ad for Blue Cross Texas, but they're really great, and they understand the value of inpatient acute rehabilitation,
mm-hmm.
and they're very good to work with.
Some mm-hmm.
others would be like Aetna or Cigna. So a lot of the commercial payers we work with.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Now, I might give you a little more detailed information. There's really two buckets primarily of payment.
Mm-hmm.
One is on the acute side. One is on the post-acute side.
Okay.
So if a patient is 65 or older and they're Medicare age, and let's say they break a hip,
mm-hmm.
and they go into the short-term acute care hospital, Medicare covers hospitalization stay for 60 days without any copay.
Mm-hmm.
So for 60 days, There is no copay for a Medicare patient in an acute care setting. Okay? There is a deductible, and that's a one-time deductible per spell of illness. So if you go in for that hip fracture and you're 65 or older and you have Medicare, then you're going to pay that deductible. I don't have that exact amount. It's somewhere around the neighborhood of $1,300.
Uh-huh.
Okay? But there's no copay, and your Part B will cover your doctor's visit, some of your x-rays.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When you come to Reliant Austin, we are also an acute care hospital. You do not pay that deductible again. You just continue your stay from the short-term acute to the medical rehabilitation at Reliant Austin. So there's no copay for 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're in the hospital, say a couple, 3 or 4 days, 5 days, and then you come to Reliant and you stay 10 or 12 days and you go home,
right.
After you're out of a Medicare bed, for 2 months or 60 days, you renew what you spent.
Okay.
In the facility.
Okay.
So those are 60 days for the renewable. And then from day 61 to day 90, then you're going to have a copay. And then for the next 60 days, that's called your lifetime reserve days. Lifetime reserve days can never be renewed.
Mm-hmm.
So you can renew your full days, your 60 days, and your 30 copay days. You can renew those after being out of the Medicare bed for 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
If you get into your lifetime reserve days, you use a few of those, you can't renew any of those.
Okay, okay.
So it gets a little complicated.
It does.
A little confusing sometimes. But for the most part, they're going to be out very little for their stay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay. And, you know, you mentioned that you also work with the community. How does Reliant Austin work with the community?
Well, Vedette Forbes, our CEO, she is all about community. And when she came on board, she wanted to know, what are we doing with community?
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to tell you, it wasn't enough.
Okay.
So she got very busy, and I'll just name a few. One, we adopted an elementary school,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to work with that school to provide them school supplies, and that's Galindo
Elementary.
Right. Another thing that she did was she contacted Meals on Wheels,
uh-huh.
and we just recently did the PALS, and we brought some PALS boxes into the hospital, and we filled those with dog food, and so the Meals on Wheels folks will take those out to people that have pets that have difficulty being able to afford to feed
That's
their,
great.
Their dogs and cats and so forth, so we're helping with that.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that we are doing, we're doing a diabetic walk with the ADA in November.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a Parkinson's support group at one of the local assisted living, independent living facilities in the area.
Uh-huh.
And then we're also going to do a conference with the Brain Injury Alliance that's coming up, I believe, in September.
Great.
And I know there's more. I'm leaving out, but I guess the moral of the story is we're working really hard to help our community and not just take up space there on Ben White, but to actually get involved with our community and see that, you know, to help our community in some way, some fashion or form.
That's great. Vedette, were there any others that you wanted to add to that?
There's more to come. I think it's very important, as Larry mentioned, to sow good seeds into the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to touch what's important to seniors as far as their grandchildren, the adopted to school, their pets. We're also involved with the Austin Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
And so Lupe and myself are ambassadors, and we support other upcoming businesses.
Mm-hmm.
We're at the ribbon cutting. And so it's just very important, I think, for us to anchor ourselves in South Austin and provide what they need.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's great.
That's great. That's great.
I might mention one other program that we have that's really neat for the community. And it's actually a home evaluation program.
Mm-hmm.
And this home evaluation program is a program that it's basically a referral-based program, but the nice thing about it is anybody can make the referral. It doesn't have to come from the local hospital. It could come from the doctor's office. It could come from the family, from a family member, from a friend.
Mm-hmm.
It could come from the patient themselves. If they're having difficulty at home, they can pick up the phone and call. And what the home eval program actually consists of is basically we send out a clinical liaison from our hospital at Reliant Austin,
mm-hmm.
and they call the family, or if the family has called in, we get a name and a number, and we call that family back, and we schedule an appointment. So we can actually go to that family's home, or that family member, the patient might be in a doctor's office and not be doing well.
Uh-huh.
Maybe has had a recent hospital stay and went home, and they're declining, and the
mm-hmm.
doctor sees that.
Right.
And they will call us directly at Reliant Austin. We'll send someone either to the doctor's office or to that member's home.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do an assessment, and then we'll discuss the case with Dr. Gray. And if we determine that they meet Medicare criteria to come in, we'll go ahead and admit that patient directly into the hospital,
wow.
out of the home or office.
Okay, that's great.
Now, that's
great.
Something a skilled nursing facility can't do.
Right.
And the reason they can't do it is because Medicare requires them, every patient that they bring in has to have had at least a three-day stay
in a
hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're an acute care hospital, we do not have that requirement.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So after the initial assessment, if we deem through our medical director and the information we've gathered that they're a candidate to come in for inpatient rehab, at that point, we will go to their doctor and we'll request an order, because we do want a physician order.
Mm-hmm.
We want their physician to know that perhaps this patient is a candidate for rehab, and does he agree with that? So we
right.
work with their family physician to make that happen.
That's great.
It's a great program.
So if people want to find out more about Reliant Austin, or they want to speak with you or check it out on the Internet, how do they do that?
Well, the Internet is pretty easy. ReliantHCP.com. So that's www.ReliantHCP.com. And the nice thing about that particular web address, you can get to any of our hospitals through that website.
Okay.
And it'll give you a little bit of a lowdown about the company. It'll also give you some information about upper management with the company.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can actually click on each individual hospital and go to their actual site and read more about that specific
okay.
hospital.
Okay. So that's their main, that's the main website.
That's the main website.
Okay.
That's a great place to go. You can also, our main number is 512-730-4800. And really all they have to do is say they want more information about the hospital. It usually gets directed to myself or somebody in admissions. We have a lady named Hillary that works in admissions. Please, she would be glad to assist.
Great. Okay. So ReliantHCP.com. And 512-730-4800.
That's correct.
And I will post both of those on my website later tonight. So if people want to check it out later, if they didn't get a pen and paper in time, they can do that later tonight or early tomorrow morning. It'll be there.
Very good.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming here to do this in person. And thank you both for being here and for being on the show.
Well, thanks.
This
for
is
the
great.
Opportunity. Hopefully we get to continue to serve
yes.
Austin for a long time.
Yes. Good
thank
luck
you,
to you.
Dr. Mira. We appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. Well, we're going to take a brief break. And after the break, Laura Galazunas will be back to report in from Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. So come right back.
Flying so high now, shows a man where to fish. Watch me send it, he lies in his hammock. Teaches tourists how to live, and he knows how to live. Yeah.
Hear the thunder high in that mountain. Watch the clouds rolling in. Senorita, they dance on that shoreline, making plans for that kiss. And they know how to kiss. They say that we're 1 hour behind. But the senoritas, they keep us in time. That part BCT just blows through my mind. It takes me back to my place, Punta Mita time. But the senoritas, they keep me in time. That poppy CT just blows my mind. And it takes me back to that place, Punta Mita time.
Back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpel and your Golden Years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmaracarpel.com. And now joining us from the retirement paradise south of the border, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, we have Laura Gelazunas on the phone. Good evening, Laura.
Hey, what's up?
How's things going in Vallarta?
You know, it's kind of hot.
Yeah.
A little steamy. We've got tropical storms off the coast, and we've got a little thunderstorm action. But other than that, it's great.
Well, it's a little hot here, too, so I don't think that, you know, it should be much worse than here.
Oh, definitely not.
So I don't know if you were listening to the rest of the show, but we had a rehab hospital that's here in Texas. And I know that you mentioned that in Vallarta, a lot of people come down there for medical procedures and to rehab on the beach.
Definitely. A recent poll showed that Mexico is like number 2 in worldwide medical tourism. And that includes plastic surgery, of course, dental treatments, oncology, fertility, and weight control. And those are the number one things people come to Mexico for. Mainly that's because some of the treatments that are more regulated in the United States are not that regulated here. But many people come down here. For me, I mean, what I see the most is dental, because so many people in the United States don't have dental insurance. And here you
right.
can come and get, you know, root canals, cavities filled, and things like that, you know, for like 70% less than what they would pay in the United States. And, you know, just like anything else, you need to shop around, you know, find a dentist that, you know, fits your budget, you know, and that fits your, you know, ideal of what a dentist should be, you know, clean facilities, et cetera. I mean, you're not like walking into some clinic with dirt floors and a tile roof, but, you know, a lot of the facilities here have more equipment than some of my dentists ever had in the United States.
So how would somebody investigate that beforehand?
A lot of the things you can get, you know, you can investigate those things online. There are services that, you know, which you will pay for, you know, that that work with specific doctors and, you know, facilities that can help you get that. Many facilities, like I said, are online, so you can do your own investigative thing, you know, and looking for comments of people who have had treatments done at these facilities, you know, and you can get a good idea of what has worked for some people and what has not worked for some people.
Right. Is there like a website where people can go to where it's all there, where, you know, kind of like we have, you know, those websites that tell us about how people like hotels or restaurants or...
There's no real central website for that. You're going to have to, like, delve a little further in your internet investigation and look at websites where there are expats, you know, have websites where you can post a question and say, hey, you know, I'm interested in coming to Puerto Vallarta, you know, I want to get this, and this done. Do you recommend it? And, you know, looking into those types of websites, because some treatments are done in Puerto Vallarta, and a lot of people that live in Puerto Vallarta will go to Guadalajara for treatments as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to Guadalajara, you know, even though many doctors speak English, because they take classes and seminars in the United States, you know, you want to make sure that if that's a big issue for you, that you want to make sure that your doctor speaks English. You know, all those things are available online, and sometimes you have to go digging for that a little further.
Right.
But
what are some of those websites for expats? Before I forget.
There's one, banderasnews.com, BANDERAS news.com. There's Expats Vallarta. And a few others that, you know, if you do a little research, you can find, you know, some of the other websites that, you know, people post that, you know, the websites are active so that when you go on there, you know, you can at least find some up-to-date information.
Right.
So for example,
with Banderas News, there's a place where you can post a question?
Yes, there are.
So people can post, hey, any recommendations about dental surgery in Vallarta
Exactly.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, that's good. Okay. And so all that.
You know, because that's really important for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is expatinvallarta.com. And they have a bulletin board as well. And any of the other bulletin boards that you can find, you know, you can ask and, you know, get on Facebook and look for, you know, Vallarta boards and Vallarta people. And, you know, everybody's always very opinionated. But, you know, at least you can find some information that will at least give you some comfort, you know, when you're looking for a dentist.
Yeah, you know? I mean, we do that here in the United States. We ask, you know, before I go to a dentist, I ask around and I ask people, you know, when I move, and I have to find a new dentist, I'll ask people, who's your dentist? Do you like them? So
exactly.
I think, you know, you want to do that wherever you go, especially if you're going to go to another country and you want to make sure that they speak your language and that it's a clean facility, right?
Oh, exactly. I mean, it takes a little, you know, just like you would, well, hopefully that you would do in the United States, you would extend the same, you know, precautions, you know, that you would coming to Mexico for treatment. But, you know, the cost is so much less that.
So how much less would it be for dental, for example, let's say you're going for a dental implant, an implant of a tooth, how much?
I don't know about a dental implant, but I know my cavities ended up being $60 to be filled.
How much was it?
$60 for one cavity.
Great.
So, you know, you're going to look at least 50%, if not more, on your, you know, services. Because a lot of doctors here don't have to carry the medical malpractice insurance that they do in the United States, which is what most of the cost is, you know, that's what's incurred.
Right.
So,
what are some of the other big medical procedures that people come to Vallarta for?
Other than dental, a lot of plastic surgery, and I strongly recommend that you, research your doctor before you go and procedures to be done. Another one is a lot of cancer treatment, because there are some cancer treatments here in Mexico that you cannot get in the United States.
Right.
But a lot of the treatment is a lot less expensive here than it is in the United States. So that's another thing people come here for. And weight control, like your gastric bypass and stomach stapling and all those other type of things, are much less expensive here in Mexico than in the United States, where sometimes the insurance doesn't cover the cost.
Right, right, right. And that's interesting about the cancer treatment, because I know, it's that there's a lot of cutting-edge treatment, and it takes years and years before it gets approval in the United States.
Oh, no, that's exactly right. So, depending upon what you need, like I said, further research on the Internet, there are some treatments that you can find here that you will not find in the United States. And depending upon what your insurance covers in the United States, some people still come to Mexico to receive treatment because it is less to pay for it in Mexico 100% than it is to use their insurance coverage in the United States.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's a big thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of people never look outside the United States, which is unfortunate, because they don't think they can get treatment anywhere else. And when a lot of the doctors in Mexico go to school in the United States or in Europe, and they speak at least two or three languages and very familiar with,
right,
what can be done.
Right, and you've mentioned that before. A lot of the doctors in Mexico receive the same training, maybe even sitting next to each other in the classroom as the doctors that are here in the United States.
No, exactly, and that's, one of the things that people need to, think about when they're, facing, big medical bills and things that are not covered by their insurance in the United States, is
right,
to look, beyond the borders and see, I need this type of treatment, can I get it somewhere else?
I mean, I know, for example, when I was an undergraduate, I knew a lot of medical students who were pre-med students who then went on to medical school in Guadalajara. So there you go.
No, huge, huge medical schools in Guadalajara and Mexico City, and, some of those doctors want to live in Puerto Vallarta just like, have the reasons just like everybody else. It's a small town, it's on the beach, great place to raise kids. So, those doctors move here for those reasons. So you are getting, top-notch medical treatment,
in
a place that, exactly. And that's, people need to remember those things, because a lot of these doctors do move here for that reason.
Right. Right, and then you recover on the beach.
Exactly, and you get online and discover there are some, what's becoming very trendy now is to have some of these villas that are for rent, condos for rent, et cetera, that are catering to people recovering from surgeries or recovering from medical treatments. So, they have a nurse on staff, they have other things. So, yeah, it's definitely a booming business, and, people are coming here to, come on down, get a root canal, get a nose job, and recover on the beach.
So, Laura, I've been watching you on Facebook, and you have had these pictures of you in these kitchens with these very nice looking guys in the kitchen. What's going on with that?
Oh my gosh. That is, it's a new show called Recipes and Real Estate. And I have recently delved into selling real estate in Puerto Vallarta after 10 years of promoting real estate and working with real estate companies to you know, move themselves forward in a very competitive market, one of the companies that I was working for was looking for somebody, and I was like, hey, you know, I think I can do that too. So what we were trying to do was come up with something that appealed to a large market, that showed the house, but yet had a recipe, because recipe videos and food are like the most popular on the internet. So it's me and the kitchenettes doing some recipes and showing a house that is for sale in Puerto Vallarta. So that show will start to air in August.
Where can people see that? On the internet?
It will be on the internet. It will be on banderasnews.com and some other websites as well. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, working on all that right now. I'm editing. So, no, just working at a new approach to showing real estate, which could apply to any city in the world.
So is that at a specific time that it's on, or is it on like a podcast?
No, it'll just be posted on the internet on a YouTube channel, tvportovallarta.com, in the next couple of weeks. So, no,
wow.
People can watch it anytime they want online.
That is great. So YouTube, tvportovallarta.com, or if they go to banderasnews.com, then the link will be there to watch the
yes.
show.
Yes, exactly.
So what you're doing is you're cooking. You're showing a recipe, you're cooking it in the kitchen of the home that you're selling?
That is correct. And then the meal is delivered by one of my kitchenettes to one of the portions of the house.
Oh,
so you're going to be able to see the whole house, you're going to be able to get a recipe, and you're going to be able to look at my very fabulous models.
So before we go, who are these kitchenettes?
They are just some local models who are working in various one guy works at the local store.
There. Okay, for listeners out there, male models. Okay.
That would be right. And we have some female models in the show as well. So it's definitely a different take on presenting a real estate video. Something nobody else has done ever. So we're pretty excited.
I'm definitely going to check it out. And I advise listeners to take a look, because it looks like it will be a lot of fun.
It has been a lot of fun. We have shot the first two shows already. So all I have to do is edit.
Uh-huh. Well, good luck with that.
No, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, Laura, thank you again for joining us from Paradise.
Oh, no problem.
And again, if people want to look you up and look up what's going on in Vallarta,
They want to go to banderasnews.com, B-A-N-D-E-R-A-S news.com, all one word, of course. So, and they catch up on everything.
Everything, and it's updated every day.
Yes, it is.
Okay, Laura. Well, you have a good evening.
And you too.
Thank you, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Definitely.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, so stick around after the break. Curly Karen Schleicher, and we'll be playing some of her music. So I'm right back.
Check me, changed my philosophy. Don't know what's gotten into me. Must be this thick air, 'cause my feet were on the ground, but now I don't know where. See me, I'm at the brink of this sweet life. Hold tight, don't let me go, 'cause there's nothing to stop me, you know. I'm living in the quintessential and reaching for the optimum. I never really know my girth until I stretch across the earth. Just wash away the old superstition, say it with me loud and clear. to keep me strong. Built me a life full of love, protected by those special angels above. Music, it makes the life in me. Here's where I feel forever free. Help me to shine through the rain and keeps me from going insane. And living in the quintessential and reaching for the optimum. I never really know my girth until I stretch across the earth. Just wash away the old superstition. Say it with me loud and clear. Onward, all love, no fear. Change my reality. Don't know what's gotten into me. I'll just keep riding this wave and give it the best that my soul ever gave. I know you see where I'm coming from. Betcha I'll do what must be done. I'll turn this world on its ear. My future's becoming quite clear. I'm living in the quintessential and reaching for the optimum. I'll never really know my girth until I the earth. Just wash away the old superstition. Say it with me loud and clear. Onward, all love, no fear. Onward, all love, no fear. Onward, all love, no fear.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And we were just listening to Curly Karen Schleifer singing Know My Girth. And Karen is on the line right now. Karen's been on my show twice before when I was on local Austin radio, and she's now back to fill us in on her exciting music news. Welcome.
Hi. How are you? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I just want to let you know that when we talk this way, there's a slight delay.
Okay.
Okay. So,
no problem.
How are things going?
Things are crazy. We haven't talked since, you'll have to forgive me, I have a bit of bronchitis, so I sound a little worse than I am, but we haven't talked since last year. And I've wound up getting fired from my job, which is as honest I can be, which made me kind of take a glance at my life and say, all right, where am I going? What am I doing? What's important to me? And I just started to kind of look at my music and look at where I wanted to make it and kind of be in an inspired place that is different than I grew up in the city. And so I started searching around, and Colorado seems to be calling. And I have a friend out there that I've known for about 20 years, Nicole Buckman, who actually lost everything last year in the floods. She lives in a little town called Lyons. So I'm going to be living with her and her kids and making music there, and already have booked a gig and have a job at a theater. So it's a lot
great.
Is happening.
Great, great. Well, good luck with that. That sounds, you know, like a really big move, but I think it sounds like a really good move.
Incredible move. You know, it's something that, I don't know, I'm lucky enough to be in a position where I have no attachments, which is good and bad, of course, and I can kind of recreate my life at this point. And, you know, being older than my 30s, it's important to me to know where I'm going to be for the next 20 years and really be in a place that I can be inspired and to do the work that I want to do.
So, you know, some of our listeners may not have heard you when you were on the radio, when you were on my show, so maybe you can backtrack a little bit and tell them a little bit about your history.
Oh, absolutely. I grew up in New York City. I did a Broadway show called Annie, if anyone knows of it. It's kind of a famous show. And excuse me, and grew up doing theater, loved it my whole life, went to college for it and decided, you know, this is not all I want to kind of do. So moved to California, found a guitar, and kind of started writing music, and it all basically snowballed. It kind of reminds me of a Rumi quote, as you start to walk out on the way appears. And I feel like, you know, lately in my life, in the past 10 years, I've been sort of walking on the way and taking the risk and taking a leap of faith, and things just keep appearing that show me the direction that I need to go in. So yeah, I picked up the guitar, I recorded an album, moved back to New York to be closer to my friends and family, and last year I had a record company in Miami take the record and say that they wanted to distribute it with me, so my first album is now out for distribution, and
great.
Did my second album on the fly, and now I'm working on my third album.
Great.
Great. Yeah.
So, and now, tell us about the gig that you have when you get to Colorado. What is that?
Oh, a couple of things really exciting. I just started to reach out to the community around Boulder. I'll be living about 10 miles north of Boulder, and they're just so warm and welcoming, and my friend Nicole that I'm going to be living with said, you know, you're going to come here and realize it's, the whole community is, like, embracing people. So I reached out to the Boulder International Fringe Festival to kind of get in touch with my theater roots. And supposed to be the executive director there, David Orlando. And he's great, and I'm going to have a meeting with him when I get there. But I'm working the festival. So the festival takes place September, I think it's the 17th to the 28th. And I'll be just working venue. I have a lot of theater experience, so I'm going to, like, do some house management with Lauren Fee from the Dairy Center. And so that's exciting. And then on the other end of that, my percussion player from my band in New York actually moved to Denver. His name is Omar Ruiz, and his wife Elizabeth and their daughter Talia. And they moved to Denver about a month ago. And I'm not even moving there because he moved there, obviously. It just happened to be ironic. But he's going to get to play our first gig, which is at a place called The Stage Stop in Rollinsville. And we're playing there, I think it's the first Saturday. It's Saturday the 6th, yeah. So it's the first Saturday of September from 8 to 11. We have, like, a long night, a three-hour set. So it'll be a great, great show to kind of break my wings in Colorado.
Great. Now, we were just playing one of your songs, Know My Girth. Can you tell us a little about that?
Sure. It's actually the first song on Only the Ocean. I moved to California, and people kind of questioned me moving. You know, my father had just died, and my mom was by herself, and she always said, you got to take the chance, and you can always come back home. And that song, when I first started playing the guitar, it's funny because it's easy because my hands aren't great. I have very small hands, so I'm more a singer-songwriter than I am a guitar player. But I could slide my finger up and down the fretboard and just make chords. And the beginning of the song is literally, you know, guitar players are out there. I just bar the last three strings and move it up and down and started playing it. And I'm just thinking about, you know, not being afraid to take the risk and not being afraid to take the chances. And that's kind of what, you know, I also wanted to have a song title with the word girth in it. I just thought it was kind of provocative. So I was like, what is this song about? It's about your journey. You know, it's about finding your own girth.
Right.
It's one of my favorite songs for sure.
So we're going to play another one of your songs that we have here, Outside My Window.
Oh, great.
Before we play that, can you tell us a little bit about the song?
Definitely. It's interesting that I forgot I sent you both of those. Outside My Window I wrote as soon as I moved back to New York. And it was really a reflection on, you know, I just want, like, it was a great moment. It was a great move. I was very inspired, and I just wanted that moment to last, and I'm just going to breathe it in, and, you know, I'm not going to deal with the fear. I'm not going to deal with any of it. I'm just going to breathe it in, you know. So, yeah, and I was standing in my apartment looking out the Empire State Building. I happened to have an apartment with a view of the Empire State Building at the time, which is shocking in New York. And, yeah, and then the first couple of lines are, I'm standing by my window, back strapped on my back, looking at the empire, knowing all it lacks. So that's pretty literal. So, yeah, that's outside my window.
Okay. Well, we're going to play that right now.
Great.
At the empire, knowing all it lacks, I think about my journey and how you others live, the miles I have traveled and all that I have given, and I never doubted for a moment that of misery and pain, that's a certain somewhere I won't return again. I hope that you can join me, stay strong and follow through. Always remember, baby, I'm gonna be here for you. And I never doubted for a moment that
Schleifer, outside my window.
Yay.
So, yay, that was a really beautiful song.
Thank you.
So, Karen, how are you getting from New York to Colorado? Are you driving?
Well, funny that you say that. Yes, I have two older cats, so I don't want to take them on a plane. So I'll be driving. And then what I'm planning on doing is each night that I'm on the road, I'm going to do a little concert on StageIt, on StageIt.com, which is a website that allows artists to kind of, you know, give private shows. So from each city, I'm going to pick a couple songs and, you know, talk about my day and the travels across country, and then and do a little concert for everybody at night.
So it'll be an online concert.
Yeah. So I'll post that definitely all on my website, curlykaren.com, CURLYKAREN. And that'll have all the information about everything, including the album and where you can get the album and my future shows. I have my last gig in New York, which is a big celebration with a bunch of artists that I love on August 9th at Funkadelic Studios. And then the next show would be September 6th at the Stage Stop in Colorado.
Where is that going to be in New York?
It's at Funkadelic Studios, which is the only studio that I rehearse at in New York City. They are amazing, and Don Orlando is the owner. And it's August 9th. It's from 8 p.m. to midnight, very casual, you know, in a studio, kind of more of a hangout in the studio with really cool musicians and watch them jam and play for a couple hours. It'll be fun.
Is that in Manhattan or is that in Brooklyn?
It is. It's on 40th Street between 7th and 8th, 209 West 40th Street at Funkadelic.
Okay.
And I just played a benefit yesterday with my bronchitis for Sandy Palooza, which is I'm very involved with, still the victims of Hurricane Sandy on Staten Island where I'm from. So there's two organizations there, Yellow Boots and Guyan Rescue, that I'm very close with, and went and played a set of music for them out there yesterday.
Okay. Are you going to, when you're driving to Colorado, are you going to pass through Austin, Texas at all?
I won't. It's a little too south for me. I'll be going mostly through Cleveland, Chicago, and then I'm cutting through Iowa. I'm going north to the Black Hills, which I love. It's one of my favorite places in the United States, and the Black Hills of South Dakota. And then driving down through the Black Hills into Lyons.
Okay. All right.
But you know I would be stopping by. Are you kidding?
Well, I'm going
to be definitely a little side trip needs to be planned to Austin to visit.
Definitely, and we're not that far away from Colorado.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Another reason that I'm moving out west, because I have so much business and music stuff going on in California still, and, you know, areas around there, and I'm just so excited to be there.
Yeah. Well, you know, be sure to stop by and say hi to my brother in Boulder and his store.
Of course.
And I'll be up there to visit, so I'm going to keep track of when you're playing so I can come see you when I'm visiting.
Oh, that would be great. Maybe we could do a little live show from somewhere on location.
Oh, that'd be cool. That would
be cool.
Yeah. And I'm going to be in New York before you leave, but I don't know if...
Oh, when are you around?
I'll be in Brooklyn from the 7th to the 11th, and then up in Westchester until the 19th.
Mara, you have to come to my last show.
That's for August 9th in Manhattan.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to write it down and see. I'm going to try to make it there.
Oh, you'd have a blast.
Yep, I'm going to. And that's all on your website?
It'll be on my website, yeah. I mean, it's on, you know, the Reverb Nation and the Facebook. It's in my schedule of shows, so everything is online. But you can find everything through the website, curlykaren.com.
Great. So I can find out exactly where it is.
Exactly. It'll be easy. I'll help you get there.
Okay. So everything that everybody wants to know about you, your records, your music, how to samples of your music, how to find out where to see you. That's all at curlykaren.com, right?
Yes, and curly does not have an E. I find that that's a very common mistake. CURLYKARN.
Okay. And I will be posting that on my website later tonight. I think it's already on the original post.
I think so, too.
Okay.
You are wonderful. I just want to thank you so much for the constant support of the music. You know, being in your 40s and kind of going for a career again that it just means everything to you, is having people support you is huge. So thank you, Mara, and thank you to Art and all you guys.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure.
Always, absolutely.
And I hope I get to see you soon. I hope I get to see you in New York. If not, then I'll see you in Colorado.
Absolutely, my friend.
All right. You have a good evening.
You have a beautiful day.
Thank you.
Peace, rock and roll.
All right. So we have come to the end of the other show already. And I want to let you know about what's coming up next week right here on Dr. Mara Karpel and Your Golden Years. Tune in next Sunday, August the 3rd at 5 p.m. Central Time when I'll be back live here in beautiful Austin, Texas. And my guests will include the neurologist, memory specialist, and author of Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask, Dr. Ronald DeVere, who has been on my local show when I was on local Austin radio. He was on 3 times. So he's coming here to join us live in the virtual studio to talk about Texas guidelines for the diagnosis and treatment of Alzheimer's disease. And we'll be joined by the Jasmanian devil, Tomas Ramirez, who will be back to tell us what's going on in his music world and the projects he's working on, and we'll be playing some of his music. And we'll have more. We always have more. So come right back next week. Same place, same station. And if you want to hear tonight's show again or read the information from this show and about upcoming shows, go to my website, drmarakarpel.com. That's DrMarakarpel.com. And I'll be posting all the links and website information that you heard about on this show on my website. Also, be sure to follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. This show was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by Sonia Das, the Bra Lady, and by Storyhouse. Special thanks to my guests, Larry Rice and Vidette Forbes of Reliant Austin. Thank you to Curly Karen Schleifer and to Laura Galazunas in Vallarta. Thank you, Art. Thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week, and remember, youth has no age. Good night, everyone.
Check me, changed my philosophy. Don't know what's gotten into me. Must be this thick air, 'cause my feet were on the ground, but now I don't know where. See me, I'm at the brink of this sweet life, and just how I exist. Hold tight, don't let me go, 'cause there's nothing to stop me, you know. I'm living in the quintessential and reaching for the optimum. I never really know my girth until I across the earth, just wash away the old superstition. Say it with me loud and clear. Onward, all love, no fear. My friends, they keep me going on. Brothers, got you to keep me strong. Built me a life full of love, protected by those special angels above. Music, it makes the life in me. Here's where I feel forever free. Help me to shine through the rain, and keep me from going insane. And living in the quintessential, and reaching for the optimum. I never really know my girth until I stretch across the earth. Just wash away the old superstition. Say it with me loud and clear. Onward, all love, no fear. Change my reality. Don't know what's gotten into me. I'll just keep riding this wave and give it the best that my soul ever gave. I know you see where I'm coming from. Betcha I'll do what must be done. I'll turn this world on its ear. My future's becoming quite clear. I'm living in the quintessential and reaching for the optimum. I'll never really know my girth until I the earth. Just wash away the old superstition. Say it with me loud and clear. Onward, all love, no fear. Onward, all love, no fear. Onward, all love, no fear.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.